Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
The road to redemption has brought the Warriors back home. The Golden State Warriors are the 2017 NBA champions.
Here's your host, 6'1" former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome into SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. The Astros win their first World Series ever in franchise history, your 2017 World Series champs. And I tell you what, we've got a championship edition coming your way over the next 2 hours at SB Nation. And I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. So delighted to open up our phone lines that are being powered by Innospec Oilfield Services, where chemistry matters. Check them out online at InnospecInc.com. Yes, we are going to open up with some college football talk. Get you ready for a little bedlam, OU-OSU in Stillwater, Oklahoma, with our good friend James Hale from OU Insider. Hello, my friend.
Hey, how you doing? Again, the only negative is I don't get to see your pretty face over radio. So you have a face for television, but you're in radio, and, you know, we'll all have to just put up with it. But you do send me a text or two every once in a while, so I get to enjoy those.
Bless you, James.
And they're not bad texts. I don't want you to think
Yeah, it's
clean.
It's all good.
Right, it's just, it's usually with your kids, so it's good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, James, we have invited you on tonight. We got to get ready for OU-OSU, but help put into perspective what this World Series means for the Houston Astros. I mean, the city is rocking. It's been incredible today. We've had the parade.
Well, this is great for the city of Houston, considering what they're going through, what the city's going through with Hurricane Harvey. And the team rallied around the city, much like Boston did with the marathon bombing in 2013, mm-hmm. and it is a motivating factor. And when a team can accomplish that and win a championship, it means a lot for the community. Now, this Houston team and this World Series shows a little bit of a change, I think, in how you build franchises. First of all, both teams took advantage of unique drafts where they were able to get elite talent coming in and then developing that talent, and that talent came through for them. And then they both spent money to enhance what was already a quality roster. When you go out and get Verlander like Houston did, and the Dodgers go out and get Darvish, those are two really great moves. And when they did that, a lot of us thought, well, the rich is getting richer. Now, I'm a Red Sox fan, so I got to be careful when I think that. I don't think that.
Yeah.
I think that because the Red Sox spend money.
Hey, the college football conversation will continue with the senior writer from OU Insider, James Hale, after this timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. The celebration continues. Astros win their first World Series. And right now we're being rejoined from the senior writer from OU Insider. And that is James Hale as we get you ready for Bedlam, OU-OSU this weekend in Stillwater. Hey, we're going to be talking a lot about the Astros over the next 2 hours. But for our Dodger fans out there, when you look back on that game, I mean, should Yu Darvish, should he have started? I mean, what do you think?
Well, who would you have gone with, you know? I mean, when they announced Darvish, I said, on my show, I said, okay, they've got the pitching advantage. I really thought they did. I'm a big Dave Roberts fan. He has the biggest steal in Red Sox history.
Yeah.
And he's such a nice guy, and he's a smart dude in baseball, and he's a smart dude overall. But if anything, I think he should have left some of his starters in. Now, I'm not saying that in Game 7, but throughout the series, I thought his pitching staff was burned. And I thought at the end, when you can come back with Peabody and Morton, late in the game, those guys are starters for the Astros. And so you had two quality arms that you could come back with. And remember, Hinch couldn't use Giles. Giles, for whatever reason, just didn't pitch well in the postseason. So you lose your closer, a guy that you counted on all year, and you get back up here, and you get back into this spot, and you have those two great arms you can go with. I thought in the end, even though everybody thought the Dodgers had the pitching advantage, I thought Houston actually ended up with it. So Houston just needs to come back, keep their guys healthy, learn from this? I mean, the Dodgers do, because the Dodgers are loaded, and you need to try to sign Darvish and, you know, just try to keep this together, because they've got everything that you need to come back and win it again. Same thing with Houston, and Verlander's going to be on that staff next year, so, you know, both teams are really stocked and loaded, and I know Los Angeles is disappointed, but, hey, they've got a really good team, and they're going to be back.
Houston strong, the Astros so good. George Springer, we didn't even talk about him that much, but just overall, he's incredible. How would you like quantify in terms of just how special this World Series was? I mean, it's one of the greatest ever, no doubt.
Yeah, because it was must-see TV every night. Yeah. If you couldn't be on TV, you found it on your radio. If you couldn't find it on your radio, you were calling radio stations and saying, why aren't you carrying the World Series? I mean, it was that good. You saw great young talent that, if they continue to progress, are probably Hall of Famers. There's certainly going to be elite players in the game that we're going to be following. Yet you saw some older guys that were also playing and playing well, that meant so much to their team and were key roles. You had young managers. And, hey, I'm a Midwest City guy, so AJ, you know, AJ Hinch from Midwest City,
yep.
Man, I've been following him for a long time. That's really good for Bomber Nation. And I know that everybody in your radio audience is going, Bomber Nation, what are they talking about? But anyway, that's the Midwest City Bombers, where AJ's from. I think it rejuvenated baseball a little bit, because baseball went through a year where everybody was attacking it. Too slow, boring, the millennials don't like it, we've got to change it, we got to do this. No, you saw right here in this World Series what a baseball series can do to captivate a nation. Baseball is good, baseball is strong, and it's only going to get better moving forward.
It is strong and steady. Hey, the senior writer, OU insider James Hale with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us online at E Radio Sports. James, you connect with our audience. Where can they find out OU Insider? Where's it at?
OU Insider on the 24/7 Sports Network, 247 Sports Network, now owned by CBS. And you can always find me at JL24 on Twitter.
Okay, so the Oklahoma Sooners are 7-1, and they will be in Stillwater on Saturday to face the Cowboys. How do you see this game playing out? It's going to be intense.
Well, it is going to be intense. I think these two teams are pretty even. They're pretty close. Oklahoma's got the better program. In recent time, though, the talent on the field has been closer. I mean, the games have been better. Mike Gundy's done a good job of building this team. When he got the money from Boone Pickens to rebuild the stadium rebuild the facilities, Mike's been able to parlay that into better recruiting classes, and the talent's closer. So here we come to this weekend. You have two top five quarterbacks. Two guys that are going to be drafted high in the NFL draft, and two guys that are Heisman Trophy candidates. Baker Mayfield, the more celebrated he should be. Baker's had the better career. You know, Baker is a little more engaging. Baker's a little better quarterback. But Mason Rudolph is good enough that if he's really on and the Sooners can't pass rush him and get him off his mark, then it's going to be a long day for the OU defense. And that's really the big key. OU's defense comes in an inconsistent unit. I mean, they'll give up 20 in one quarter and then shut the team out the rest of the way. The Cowboy offense is one of the top two or three offenses in college football. OU is also one of the top three or five, you know, two or three or five offenses in college football. So the matchup's pretty even. Oklahoma's got a great offensive line. Maybe that's a little bit of a weakness right now at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State has what many people believe is the top wide receiver core. OU's receiver core is coming. It's getting better, and more guys are emerging. Both teams think they can run the football. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. It's in Stillwater. Baker was shocked when he learned that Oklahoma State was a 3-point favorite. I think it should be more of a pick 'em, but it's going to be an interesting game. I think OU's the better team, and they'll win the game, but it's going to be one of those games that you're talking about for a long time, what happened in the game, because I think it's going to go down to the fourth quarter, probably to the last drive, and be one of those epic games that we're always talking about.
What happened in the game against Iowa State? What did the Sooners learn from that performance?
Well, they learned that they have to be able to complete passes downfield even when a team has an 8-man drop. And that's worked for Iowa State in a lot of games. But it shouldn't affect Baker Mayfield. If you've got a team that's like that, you better win the running game or you better win the game at the line of scrimmage. And OU did not dominate the line of scrimmage in that game against Iowa State. You know, and then defensively, Oklahoma had to play a lot better. You know, so what happened when Baker Mayfield had not a pedestrian game, but didn't have his normal wow game because receivers weren't open downfield. And so he, you know, kept holding the ball and holding the ball and a couple of times got sacked, but he didn't feel like anybody was open. I think if they played again, Baker would trust his receivers a little bit more. They would hammer the running game. And Oklahoma would win the game. But Iowa State played a great game. Oklahoma fell into the trap and couldn't get out of it. So, congratulations. I mean, Iowa State's having a great year. Do you realize Iowa State has a great chance here to maybe be one of the representatives in the Big 12 postseason game? And, hey, I never thought that, man. If we could have put money on Iowa State,
right.
You know, you'd live in a bigger house than you live in now.
Well, Matt Campbell, he has done just a tremendous job. And it really is, when you talk about the Cyclones, that is one of the feel-good stories in college football right now.
Yeah, it is. And he's a neat guy. I enjoy dealing with him at Big 12 Media Days. And he's got his team playing. And now he's trying to convince them, guys, we're in a little bit of a different role here. You know, we're still a little bit of the underdog, but now we're the team that can get there. We've played our way into this position, and it's a unique spot for Iowa State, and it's going to be interesting to see how they can handle it. You know, they got Oklahoma State next week, so they've got still huge games on the agenda, and we'll see what happens, you know. I don't know if they can beat TCU or not, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens here.
The Senior Writer with OU Insider. You can also tune him in KREF 1400 in Norman, Oklahoma, 10-2.
Well, as a matter of fact, they can't beat TCU. Hey, they can't beat TCU, right? I mean, because TCU already lost.
That's right.
Yeah, they've got Texas this week,
Texas.
So we'll see what they do there.
Right. Hey, James, it's been good to catch up with you. Thanks for kicking off our program, our championship show tonight. Thank you.
It's been great, and I will see you down the road. Look forward to it.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way right here, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. The college football conversation continues. Frank Pomerico is going to be up next talking about his Fighting Irish.
This is the Big East Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. It is our championship edition. We have been talking about the Astros. They win their first World Series ever in franchise history, your 2017 World Series champs. And we are Houston strong. I am so delighted to have with us. We're going to shift gears a bit. Hey, we're going to talk some college football. And we're going to zero in on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. A team last year were 4-8, and they have turned things around. They've righted the ship, and it has been an amazing 2017. We are so delighted to have with us Notre Dame standout. He was part of that national championship team in 1973. He knows what it takes to win a championship, and that is the very talented Frank Pomerico. Good evening, my friend.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, Frank, I'm sure you're a baseball guy. What did you think about this epic World Series before we talk about your Fighting Irish?
Well, anytime you have a Game 7, it's exciting. And I felt tingles last night before the game started.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as the Astros got ahead 5-0, I was excited for them because of how much they've been through, the city's been through, as far as the hurricane and the destruction down there. I mean, in some cases, almost looks like it was bombed. And the people that are the Texans and the Astros that are trying to raise money down there are doing a great job. So my hat goes off to those people.
It has been a beautiful thing for our city. Hey, Frank Pomerico, back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We have extended this invitation because, hey, we've got to talk about his Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and it's been a magical season. And how have they turned things around, and what have been the keys to their success, Frank?
Well, I think one of the things, they have three new coordinators, actually four new people involved in the program that have really helped turn things around. There's Chip Long, who's the offensive coordinator, has really started to control things, playing with two tight ends, also really honing in on the running game. And they've been able to control the clock that way, also been able to control the tempo of the game. And anytime you have a strong running game, you're going to be able to do that. You are in control of the game if you can run the ball successfully. The strongest part of Notre Dame's team is their offensive line. We have Quentin Nelson at left guard and McGlinchey at left tackle. Those two guys are All-Americans, and they really add to the whole explosion of the offensive running game this year. So that's one of the reasons. The other thing, I think, is the defensive coordinator is Elko, coming in from Wake Forest. He's done a terrific job. I don't know if they're ranked in the top 20 defensively, but they are in the top 40. And with the explosive offense running game that they have, and along with the special teams, they are really able to have a solid basic team that is able to win with the strength of their program.
Okay, as I had mentioned earlier, the Fighting Irish were 4-8 last year. You're talking about the strength of the Fighting Irish. But I remember our last conversation. You know, Frank, we talked about just the heat, the pressure on Brian Kelly. And, you know, as you evaluate him as a coach, what were some of the key adjustments that took place in the offseason to produce a major turnaround and provide, you know, a little breathing room and a little security for Brian?
Well, starting in the offseason, they hired a new strength coach named Ballas, who is really a hard-nosed guy, but really cares about the kids. And I think they've rallied around him. That was the first thing that happened. And then they hired the two new offensive and defensive coordinators that really helped the team gel as far as the philosophy is concerned. And the third thing is they have Brian Poulian, who used to be the head coach at Nevada, came back to Notre Dame, who's here once before, and he has headed up the specialty teams. Now, Brian also brings with him a lot of experience as far as being a head coach. He was born and raised in football with his father being the GM for the Buffalo Bills during their Super Bowl years. So he brings a lot of experience and know-how as far as being able to assist and suggest things to Coach Kelly. And with all those things happening, I think we have a more stable situation and we have a more focused program.
Okay, so the program is more focused. So how much security does this provide Coach Kelly? Is it going to be a season-by-season type of thing? Because at times it seems like he was in a precarious situation.
Well, I think if they would have continued on the path that they had, his chances of staying another year or two were probably pretty slim. But I think now, with the advent of these new coaches and the program being on steady ground, you know, we have four more games to go. We have Wake Forest, Miami, who's undefeated, Navy, who's always tough to beat, and then Stanford at the last game out there in Palo Alto, who has a great running back with Bryce Love. I mean, these four games, if Notre Dame were to win those four games, they're going to be right in the mix of those final four. Right now, I think they're number three. And if they continue to win, which I think they can beat all these teams. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Miami's undefeated, but they've been just getting by the skin of their teeth. Navy's always pesty to play against, and they dominate the time on the clock because they have such a strong running game. Then, of course, Stanford, you're playing with guys that are as good as you are at Notre Dame, so they're really going to have to go out there focused, because if you don't, Stanford's going to beat them. So they have some challenges ahead of them, and I think they take one game at a time. If they do that, I think Brian Kelly is going to have a very successful year, and he'll be in a good bowl game. If not the Final Four, he'll be in a good bowl game, and that will take quite a bit of the pressure off. Now, whether Brian wants to stay longer or not, it would be clearly up to him. I don't know why he wouldn't. He has a good program going.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Notre Dame standout, he was a part of the 1973 National Championship team with the Fighting Irish. He was the co-captain. That is our good friend of our program, Frank Pomerico, with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You did a nice job just breaking down as far as the remaining games on the schedule for Notre Dame. Wake Forest, they'll be at Miami, Navy, Stanford. And when you look at those games, I mean, it seems like they're doable, but it's very important. They cannot overlook any opponent. They have got to continue to stay in the present.
sure. You cannot just think of throwing your hat on the, your helmet on the field and think you're going to win. Alyssa, I remember 1972, Nebraska beat Missouri like 70 to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the next week they were playing us, the Irish, at home in South Bend. And we're thinking, okay, we're like a 3 or 4 touchdown favorite. All we have to do is throw our helmet on the field. Not so. They wanted to prove that they weren't that bad. And we were thinking we're going to run over them. Well, we lost the game 30-26. There was a couple of close calls.
Wow.
We lost. And I think anytime you get into that situation, you have to think, I got to focus in on right now. This next game is the most important game. And Wake Forest is a championship game for them because they have to win every game the rest of the year in order to be in that Final Four. And they have the talent to do that. Alyssa, I think when you have a guy like Josh Adams, who's run for some 1,100 yards, he's explosive, he can cut on a dime, he gives great versatility to this offense. And then you have Winbush, who really is only thrown for 1,000 yards, a very modest amount of yardage. But I think when you look at what he's done as far as guiding the team and as far as his running ability, he's averaging somewhere around 80 yards a game rushing. So when you have those two things going for you, you know, you're throwing that defense a curve every time you're handing off the ball or faking the handoff because Winbush can hurt you just as much as Josh Adams. So they're sitting in the driver's seat right now, and I think it looks there's really good things in the future for the Irish if they keep focused.
Okay, the college football playoff rankings were out earlier this week, and I just want to get your takeaways. I mean, do you believe Notre Dame is deserving of that number 3 ranking? I look at it as, you know, the Fighting Irish, they have beat 3 ranked teams.
Well, I think that, you know, it really doesn't mean anything till the end. If they want to rank them at that point, that's fine. They just beat 2 good teams, USC and North Carolina State. I thought North Carolina State was actually going to be tougher than SC, and they didn't score as many points. But North Carolina State really folded at the end under the pressure of Notre Dame's running game. They had an injury, a couple of injuries early on with their running back, got hurt, their top running back. And they also hurt 2 defensive tackles. But, you know, that's part of the game, and they have to be able to bounce back. But I think overall Notre Dame's schedule is a good schedule. They beat some good teams. The only one they lost to was Georgia, who's ranked, I think, number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost 20-19 with a unfortunate play at the end. I mean, Georgia played great. But Notre Dame is going down to score either a field goal or a touchdown. And they got a sack that caused a fumble, and that was the end of the game. But it was a close game. And I think we don't need to worry about the rankings until November 26th, the day after the Stanford game. And then that's the real nuts and bolts of what's going to happen. So they just have to focus on their next game, not the polls. An interesting comment. I remember in 1973, we were going to play, we did play Air Force. I think it was on Thanksgiving Friday. And Ara that night said to us, okay, all we have to do now is pray that Michigan and Ohio State tie. Now, what is the likelihood of that to happen? Sure enough, Michigan and Ohio State tied, and it allowed us to play Alabama in the championship game at that time, which was really setting up the bowl game so that they could expose number 1 to somebody close to them. And we were number 3 or 4 at the time. And when we won the game, we were selected as national champions. But you never know what's going to happen. So that's why you have to just think about winning your own game and let everything else take care of itself.
Of course, you were just referencing the legendary Notre Dame coach who actually passed away earlier this year at the age of 94. So many accomplishments, winning a national championship, leading the Fighting Irish in 66 and 73. Always brought out the best in his players. And we always love the best of the best, and that is Frank Pomerico. Been with us, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Have a great weekend, and you enjoy that game with Wake Forest. Okay?
Alyssa, thank you very much, and I appreciate you having me on.
Of course. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, the Astros win the World Series, first ever in franchise history. They are your 2017 World Series champions. Hey, we're so glad you're with us on this Friday night. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, a segment being powered by our friends at Innospec Oilfield Services, where chemistry matters. Check them out online, InnospecINC.com. Well, as promised, right now we're going to completely shift gears. We're going to visit with one of the leading authorities in college recruiting. Back with us on the show tonight is Mr. Robert Cagle. He is the Vice President of Public Relations, National Scouting Director for National Scouting Report. And did you know Robert Cagle played football at Ole Miss? He was a two-time academic All-SEC. Good evening, Robert. Nice to have you on the program tonight.
Alyssa, it's always good to be back, and always appreciate the opportunity to be with you. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good times. It's our championship edition right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, the Astros, as I just stated, they win their first ever World Series. And I know you're a big baseball guy. I understand what you played in high school. What were your takeaways from watching this world championship?
You know, for me, it was great to see a club like Houston first of all, a city that obviously has had a lot of turmoil with the
yes.
hurricane and the general area of that part of the country needed something positive. The area, the people of the community needed something that was exciting. And the Astros did that. I mean, they brought some great stuff. And look, what everybody doesn't realize is that these guys won the World Championship, won the World Series this year, and had to beat all of the old lines. I mean, the kings of baseball, the Red Sox, the Yankees. You start talking about where they had to come from to get to this point to win, and then to beat a historically great Dodger organization as well. I mean, and you talk about baseball, you know, the Dodgers, the Yankees, you just have to automatically put those guys, the Red Sox, all there. And here you have the Houston Astros with such a great lineup, a great coaching staff, a great front office, managing and owning that club. Did a great thing. So congratulations to them and to their community. I'm excited for them.
Well, and the Astros executed a game plan that they were able to manufacture runs on the road. I mean, you talk about being in a high-pressure situation, and they lived up to it. They did not back down.
No, they did not. And the more the pressure got, and when they were in the box, the better they delivered. And it was an exciting. It really was an exciting series. I think for those of us that we may not follow baseball day to day. I know mm-hmm. I don't follow professional baseball daily, but when we get to the pennant races and we get to the playoff series, we get to, everybody picks up and picks in, and I know I do. And this has to be one of the most exciting World Series that we've seen in a number of years, just because of the elements that were brought to it. Great coaching, great pitching, and that's hard to. People say, "What do you mean, great pitching?" Well, there's a lot of great pitching going on for there to be as many home runs hit and the ball to be as live as it was.
Yeah.
It was a great series.
Hey, Robert Cagle back with us. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us at Twitter at eRadio Sports and podcastarena.com, podcastarena.com. I think what's amazing, one more quick hit on the Astros, is just, you know, how they built this team. I mean, they did it very quietly. They embraced analytics, and obviously it paid huge dividends. I mean, a tremendous testament to being patient and working it the right way.
No doubt. You know, and that's the thing about whatever you want to be in sports, whether you're a collegiate or whether you're trying to get to college to play on scholarship, you know, there's a right way to do things. It is based off analytics. It's based off proven success. You do things over and over that really work and have proven themselves to work, and great things happen. So this is another example of a team that did things by the numbers. And now, don't get me wrong, they mixed in the personalities mm-hmm. as well, too. You can't just do everything by analytics alone. There has to be the personal touch. There has to be the personalities involved in it, the people skills and all those kind of things. And they mixed all that together to really, really achieve greatness this year.
Hey, Robert Cagle, Vice President of Public Relations and National Scouting Director, a company called National Scouting Report, with us tonight. SB Nation Radio. Yeah, we went around the horn. We talked some baseball. We're going to transition now. The reason we extended this invitation, we got to talk some college football because Robert, he played at Ole Miss. Let's talk about the SEC. The college football playoff rankings were announced. And guess what? Alabama, not the number one in the country, the Crimson Tide, they come in at number two behind fellow SEC team, the Georgia Bulldogs. What were your immediate takeaways from the release, Robert?
You know, I understand the ranking system, the way that the committee came away from that. They looked at a couple of wins that Georgia put together, especially the win over Notre Dame, and the way they played against Mississippi State, to beat Mississippi State, and Mississippi State's currently ranked in the I think they're 17 now, I believe. I'd have to go back. But you look at them against what Alabama did. Of course, Alabama beat Florida State right out of the gate, but Florida State's had such a dismal season after losing their quarterback in that game. It's just been Jimbo Fisher's had a difficult time at Florida State. I understand why the committee came where it came with Georgia. To be honest, I think that puts Georgia at a disadvantage. You know, they're going to have to play Alabama. If all things carry out the way that we anticipate the schedule to carry out for the next couple of weeks, you know, it's going to be a Georgia-Alabama SEC Championship East versus West game in Atlanta. That's going to put a big target on Georgia's back for Alabama to be an underdog. And you know, as we've seen in times past where media or groups, maybe a team put some things out in the press. You know, Alabama uses that as their players use that as a motivational tool to really impose their will upon teams.
Yeah,
but make no mistake, Georgia is an outstanding football team. Georgia is as good a football team as I've seen play this year, and they deserve to be one or two. I totally agree with that. It's going to be interesting to see how the SEC championship game comes down. If everything goes out the rest of the season till we get to December, it's gonna be interesting to see how it goes. Now that leads it back to this, Alyssa.
Mm-hmm.
There, it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be hard for
yeah.
the committee with one loss. Either one of those teams, if they have one loss and they play that SEC championship game to the teeth, and that both of them play, whichever one comes out lose, it's gonna be difficult at best for a committee to leave one of those two guys out. In fact, I don't see how they can. And I think that this will be the first year, and it will cause an uprising amongst the conferences. But I believe that you'll see both those teams, if they do play one another as undefeated in the SEC championship game, whichever one of them comes out with a loss, I believe you're still going to see that team come in as a four spot when it's all said and done in the Final Four for the championship playoff.
Well, Robert, you're exactly right. It really does set up for an interesting SEC game. But, you know, as we talk about Georgia, they have just played so well this season, especially over the past couple of weeks, you know, with wins over two teams in the top 25. And I think of, you know, Kirby Smart. I mean, what an amazing job he has done as a head coach. They were 8-5 last year. What do you think, you know, on the outside looking in, I mean, what do you think has been the key for them to have such a significant turnaround?
Well, I think there's a couple things with this, and first of all, let's give Kirby Smart the kudos he deserves as a coach. Of course, I mean he did a tremendous job at Alabama as defense coordinator. He learned how to manage the process, for lack of a better term. He learned that from Coach Saban. There comes a lot of success that he's going to have just as a result of learning from one of the best technicians in the country. In Coach Saban. Now, I also want to say this: when you look at the recruiting classes that he's working with right now, he's working still off of some of Coach Rick's recruiting classes. Those are the guys that are really kind of the playmakers right now, as the juniors and seniors, and they're doing a tremendous job. And you mix in the recruiting classes that he brought in last year after having such a difficult time last year in transition, what you see is you see him being set up not only for success this year, but also for him becoming perennially and each year a really successful program based on that. Kirby Smart's a heck of a football coach. He understands the X's and O's, and he understands how to recruit. He's going to be force at Georgia for the next few years to be reckoned with, that's for certain.
Having that sustained success that you are talking about. Okay, so we've hit on Georgia. Let's dive a little deeper, Robert, into Alabama. Is there any area that seems a bit vulnerable? I mean, I know if you're a fan, you never panic, because here, you know, the Crimson Tide, they have won 4 of the last 8 national championships. They know how to finish, and they know how to get things done. But is there any vulnerability when you look at them?
You know, the coaching staff up there says that, you know, if you pick on their defensive backs, if they have any vulnerability on the defensive side, it's going to be the passing game against them. You're not going to line up and run the football very well against them. I say that, and Georgia's got a great attack on the running game. But you're not just going to line up and play. And offensively, they've been able to really dominate the line of scrimmage up front. And so if they have a weakness, I would say it maybe is in spreading their passing game out a little bit and being very effective in their passing game. So if you had 2 things to say that would say that Georgia has to key on, or anybody has to key on to beat Alabama, it's this: put pressure on them, in the passing game. But that means you've got to have time. You got to give your quarterback time, and that's the problem, is nobody can have time because of the defensive front that Alabama brings. But throw the football vertical on them. That's one way that I think that there's a place there. If there's any weakness, that's it. The other side of it is if you can force them to throw the football and cause Hurts to have to throw the football, then all of a sudden that's another weakness. Here's the two-edged sword to both of those. Offensively, when you force him to throw, you're also forcing him to run.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good, because when he gets out on the edge, nothing but good things happen for Hurts when he tucks the ball and decides to run. So there's a two-edged sword there you got to be careful of. So I think those two things are what people are going to have to look at. You're not going to line up front-to-front, man-to-man with Alabama and beat them. I don't care who you are. You're just not. They have, we've got 2, as a national scouting report guy, I've got 2 NSR former athletes, NSR alumni, that are on that starting offensive line, Bradley Bozeman and Matt Womack.
Nice.
Hands down, Alyssa, they have an unbelievable front on both sides. So I think those are the 2 things that you got to focus on to play with those guys and possibly beat them.
Okay, LSU Tigers, they're headed into Tuscaloosa on Saturday. How do you see this particular game playing out, Robert?
Well, LSU and Alabama is always interesting. It's always an interesting game. It really doesn't matter which team's the most, the highest rated, or what the records are coming into it. LSU's going to come in. LSU's got everything to prove and nothing to lose, really. Coach Orgeron is under a lot of heat, a lot of pressure right now from a coaching perspective to win. And the thing is the fan base and administration from school may put a lot of pressure on this particular game. And this game for him can't be the measuring stick of whether or not he is able to maintain his career, his job at LSU or not. I don't think that's fair to put on a guy. But I will say this: I think the team at LSU will be ready as they can possibly be. Emotionally, mentally, they'll be prepared for this game, as it is a rivalry game. Maybe not quite like a SC, USC game, or a Penn State, Ohio State, or Ohio State, Michigan, or Alabama, Auburn contest, or a Texas A&M contest. But make no mistake, the LSU-Alabama rivalry is a big rivalry, and those two teams will be ready to play. LSU is going to have to play flawless. They're going to have great quarterback play. They're going to have to be able to establish the run game in order to get the quarterback freed up to make some plays. And if they can't do that, it's going to be a long day for them. But they will be prepared mentally and emotionally, because it's a rivalry game.
The college football conversation continues with Robert Cagle after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, we are talking some college football with Robert Cagle, the Vice President of National Scouting Report. You know, you talk to the coaches, whether it's football or just a variety of different sports with NSR. Can you kind of give us a sense of what is life like when you talk to head college football coaches? I mean, because the expectations are so high, they're so immediate, and results are, they want them right away.
They do, and the thing is over the years, we've built such a relationship with so many of these coaches in different sports. Football is a different animal from a coaching perspective. You know, right now, football and men's basketball, there's so much pressure put on those coaches to produce victories and wins, but yet maintain high graduation rates, maintain the quality of the program, quality of the young men that are participating in those programs. It has to be well-rounded. And I mean quality. I mean high character, high integrity kind of kids. You know, they're making good decisions off the field. Here's when we talk to them, and we spend a lot of time at different conventions and actually have conversations with them. In fact, I was on the phone with, and I won't declare who it was, but one of the head coaches the other day. We were speaking, and we were talking about his job and where he may go next and those kind of things. And he said, you know, Robert, the tough thing about coaching at this level is that regardless of how good a job I do making men out of these young men, it's all going to boil down to fans in the stands, and it's going to boil down to me whether or not I win a national championship or whether or not I win a conference championship.
Hey, National Scouting Report Vice President of Public Relations and National Scouting Director Robert Cagle has been with us tonight here in hour number one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Give a shout out for your website, and where can some of our listeners check you out online, Robert?
You know, if you have a young man or a young lady that's in high school and wants to play in college, you can go to www.nsr-inc.com. That's nsr-inc.com. And listen, you know, we're not open enrollment. We do help high school kids get scholarships. Every kid that we choose to work with, will get recruited. We've been doing this for 37 years, and we're really good at it.
Always a true pleasure to have you with us on our program, Robert. We look forward to another conversation, continued success, and enjoy the games this weekend, okay, my friend?
I certainly will, Liz. It's been good to be on today. Thank
Absolutely. You. Much more coming your way. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us online at E Radio Sports, and we will be right back.